When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbooks apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The men's tournament is a blast every year, but I'm hyped for the women's tourney too. Got to tap in to see Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and Juju Watkins. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8777-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, March 25th, and we've got another episode filled with domestic economic policy analysis here on the Jenkins and Jones podcast.
Talking about Reagan era shit.
You know, we're going to talk about deregulation in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan. We're talking the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, Kendrick, and we're going to do Dookie Butt of the Week. It's another Monday episode of Jenkins and Jones to get your week kicked off. As always, we are hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
He dug right down to his tank to get that one out. You feel what I'm saying?
And we're produced by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
What's up, Jackson?
All right. I've just been watching basketball nonstop for the last 72 hours. NCAA tournament has been crazy. But the number one thing we were talking about in the group chat is, John, what was the name of the school that called themselves the Harvard of the South?
Samford, bro, from Alabama. It's a school in Birmingham, Alabama. They call themselves the Harvard of the South. The average ACT is a 27. Nigga, I got a 27, bro. I ain't no Harvard or nothing, okay? You feel me? Like, bro, just straight up. And they'll tell you, like, people at the school, like, yeah, I went to Samford, the Harvard of the South. Like the school actually says it. You know, people in the school, it's very common for them to say it. It's really ridiculous. There's no Harvard in anything. You know what I'm saying? Harvard is a Harvard of anything, of everything. You feel what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Trying to be the Harvard of the South in particular is incredible. But I want you to know that when I Googled what school is the Harvard of the South, there's actually like top 10 lists because there's so many schools claiming They are the Harvard of the South. Samford University, the middle 50% of admitted students have an average GPA score of 3.0. You are not the Harvard of the South.
That
tells me that the bottom the half ACT? Are
they
under 3.0.
They might have fell off, nigga. Because 3.0 is crazy. Talk about you the Harvard of the South. That's insane.
Y'all are like the Whopper of the South. You know what I'm saying? Like
the chicken Whopper, nigga. Right? You ain't even the beef version, motherfucker. Yeah.
You the chicken sandwich of the South. Yeah, ain't no motherfucking Harvard going on there. Well, right. Nah.
According to PrepScholar.com, question, is it hard to get into Samford University? The acceptance rate at Samford University is 83.3%.
Nigga, they said everybody get in, bitch.
Why do they even step out there like that and call themselves that? What is this?
That tells me if we all applied, John's getting in, Tyler's getting in, and Jackson's getting in.
Hey, fuck it. I might need me a Samford degree, bro. If I can tell them all, if I can put graduated from the Harvard of the South on my goddamn resume with an 83% acceptance rate. Like, hell yeah. I might need to holler at Samford, dog.
Well, right, right. Get the line with them niggas. Hell yeah.
Josh said his reverse DEI at Samford. I don't even know what that means. That's funny as fuck.
I laughed. You got the job done.
They're apparently Jimbo Fisher is an alum. So
oh, hell no.
Kind of tells you what you need to know, I feel like.
Your number one notable alumni's name is Jimbo, bro. You're telling me you're the Harvard of anything?
Jimbo Fisher might be making the easiest money of any coach in all of sports, though, bro. Like everybody smart. Knows he's done. He's not the guy for that job. And he's still making like $78 gazillion a year there at A&M, bro.
He's going to have Jimbo Hall. Jimbo Dining Hall back at the home.
Back at Samford. You can scam people just he put Harvard of the South on his resume. Look how far he got in. Right? Hey, I'm going to holler at Samford, dog. If you can get me Jimbo type, if you can get me a Jimbo setup, take my money, please. That is all I ever dreamed of, is just getting paid like Jimbo is.
The one of the most fun parts of the NCAA tournament is getting to catch up on all these fucking little schools that you never heard of that are having their big moment. And one of those schools catfished the fuck out of me and my entire timeline, which is Oakland University. I turn on the TV. Who did they beat in the first round? They beat like a big school.
They beat Kentucky.
They beat Kentucky. Oh, yeah, that's Kentucky. Right. They beat Kentucky. And I turn on the TV. Oh, I go, oh, shit, wearing black and gold. East side shit. Oakland University putting it down, beating Kentucky, and then with like 3 minutes left in the game, John, the announcer goes, hailing from Rochester, Minnesota.
I know your nose was like, because I could see the excitement when you said black and gold. Oh, hell yeah, nigga. You feel me? When they said Minnesota, I know you was like, B-U.
The
nigga.
Whole timeline, it was like a slug that someone poured salt on. The entire timeline was just like, what?
Ain't no way.
I retract all my positive feelings about Oakland University.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, I personally knew about Oakland being in Michigan because in 2005, in 2005, the year UNC won, they had them first round. They were the 16th seed that played UNC, so that's how I knew about them. But I'm not saying that is a very niche thing since I'm a UNC fan, so for sure I understand everyone else getting catfished.
Yeah.
A UNC fan with an encyclopedia for a brain. You remembered their first round matchup from
2005. Yes. Yes.
I remember everything.
Have you ever forgot anything?
That was fucking so casual, too.
Bro, 2005 UNC went through a fucking Big Ten tournament. They beat Michigan State, Wisconsin, and they beat Illinois, right? And Illinois had that mean three guard with fucking Darren Williams, D Brown, and fucking who else was Reggie some shit? Number four, bald head motherfucker. His name
was D Brown, the best player on that team. Like people in Illinois.
He was the best player on Illinois, but everyone knew Darren was the best.
Was the one that was going. Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure though.
You remember opposing jersey numbers from teams that your school played 18 years ago, dog?
Yes, bro. This shit's killing me. I got to find this motherfucker's name now. I'm pretty sure he wore number four.
It's the one thing he's forgot his entire life, and he just right. can't let it go.
I can't let it beat me.
Is it Luther Head?
Luther Head. I told you Luther something. Head. Something Head. I feel like I said Head.
Wasn't he a Luther lefty head. Too? He had that motherfucking. Yeah.
He led the team in scoring that year.
Yeah. I told you that three guard they had was mean as fuck, bro.
It's a real Jenkins and Jones episode. Tyler's got the Popeye's fucking soda cup right now, too.
that's the main reason I'm late. I was over at the homie's crib, you know, having a Sunday fun day, and my food got delayed, bro. I was like, yeah, hell no.
When he came in with the crisp white tea, I'm like, yeah, this nigga had a good Sunday. You know what I mean? That's a clean-ass white tea.
All right. Oakland University, as I mentioned, beat Kentucky in the first round. And, oh, do those people want Coach John Calipari dead down there, bro. They are getting the pure 1918 anti-Italian slurs off their chest in Kentucky right now, bro. He's getting called a Guido. He's getting called a WAP. He's getting called a fucking greaser. He is getting called every word under the goddamn sun for
back
an Italian
when Italians
person.
Was the niggas before niggas. You know what I'm saying? Crazy.
They hitting that boy with the gabagool down there in Lexington. But listen, here's my whole thing. Like, there is a discussion to be had about how John Calipari just falls flat with so much talent year after year after year. But I don't think he's necessarily in the hot seat, because I always feel like in college, the one time when you know your days are numbered are when you start losing your grip on recruiting, right? And he had the number one recruiting class, which is why, like, you know, this is a big fucking deal. The number one recruiting class should not lose to fucking Oakland, right? But I feel like if you're still getting recruits, your leash is still going to be long, bro. I don't think he's going to get the boot. I don't see it.
How are these young teams? How are these young teams faring in the tourney?
I mean, that,
because
that
you get good recruits, but they're all really young.
Yeah,
so if the
I mean,
better
that,
teams
that was,
are the, what does it mean to the school? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you get good recruits and you're still losing, you feel what I'm
but,
saying?
But that was kind of Jay Wright's point, was like, this just is the loudest signal that college basketball has changed. Like, you're not winning with one and done. It's like, these dudes are getting, like, this dude for Oakland, Jack Golke, signed an endorsement deal with TurboTax 30 seconds after the game was over. Like, this dude's like 24 years old or some shit. Like, you're just, no matter how good you are as an 18, 19-year-old one-and-done guy, you're going up against a team full of 23-year-olds. It's tough, bro. And the NIL stuff is making it easier for guys to stick around and choose that over just graduating and going off to your life. Or you'd rather do that maybe than going overseas and trying to hack it on the non-guaranteed shit over there. So it's just, that was Jay Wright's point, basically, was like, you could be a great coach. You could have future NBA guys, but you have teenagers going up against 23, 24-year-olds, it's going to be tough for you. I do feel like that's something that's changing. Now, the problem for us is we never heard of the 23 and 24-year-olds, so we don't give a fuck the way we do with the women's game, where there's, like, names that you've heard here. Like, I never heard of this dude, Jack Golke, for fucking Oakland University, but I was a huge fan of his during the game. He was doing all kinds of crazy Steph Curry shit.
His shots were insane.
And then did you hear the stat that he's only taken 8 2-pointers in the entire season, Jackson?
He's living my dream. He's living my dream. I text this to my best friend. He's literally living my dream.
Wow. Was this catch and shoot, or was he ball handling, pulling
four dribbles,
up on niggas?
Four dribbles. 10 threes, 4 dribbles.
Wow. So he was on his Klay Thompson shit.
Yeah. He was also
running off screens. Gotcha. You know what I'm
like
saying?
The second player in NCAA tournament history, I believe, to attempt 23s coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Wait, this.
And he's got the Gardabasio hairline, too. He's got this alley and he's got this alley. You know what I mean?
He was chucking early, too. Like, the moment he came in and he just started cashing.
He's coming off the bench shooting Steph Curry deep three, like, in Oakland? Why is he not starting at 24?
He could be starting.
Was that
he's a career
he's
like
too old for that shit, man.
He's that's a career D2 player who's like
yeah,
just training.
He only got a certain amount of minutes. He's on a minutes restriction. Right, he's 24, right. Nigga. His knees is about cooked. You feel me?
He just came back from the war. Okay, he was 24. He's 24 years old. All right, he has seen some things. Okay,
I'm texting y'all his headshot, bro. I'm texting y'all his headshot.
His coach, right, his coach in the press conference said he cannot take a bad shot. He said that's the kind of confidence
he
I want.
In the gym,
I want injected
shot
into my
you
veins by my coach, dude. That is sick.
Yeah, what? Look that's at him. Give me your reaction to his face.
Jack Golke.
This motherfucker looks like every bully in every 1980s movie ever, bro. he got a back to the future face for sure, nigga. Stealing almanacs and shit, please, bro.
You know what I mean?
He's for Marty sure pushing you in a river back. Because he found out that your dad's in jail. You know what I mean? Like,
he actually kind of looks like this guy I went to school with who I play pickup sometimes, who's like a huge asshole and everyone hates him. So,
yeah, you for sure got that
checks
very,
out.
Very hateable face on that young man.
He looks like he should have went to BYU, though. You know what I'm saying?
He do got a BYU face.
He got a BYU face.
His jumper kind of looks like Jimmer's, too.
He got a Jimmer face. Him and Jimmer could be like second cousins. Wouldn't surprise me. You feel me?
Yeah.
I mean, BYU, I mean.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry.
Ooh, getting spicy. Going after the LDS community. Jackson Safon. Oh, my.
LDS,
Latter-day Saints.
Is that do like people really call them LDS?
Oh yeah, Saints. You don't got enough Polynesian.
I don't know. There's an acronym. I don't know.
You don't got enough Polynesian homies because the Polynesians are Mormon as fuck, bro.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a big, big chunk of the population. Yep, for sure. That's why I was like, okay, cool. I don't make those jokes around these people. Got you. But I am going to keep getting the Mormon jokes off.
You'll find a way.
There's nothing to be done about it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We've all had a difficult time buying tickets. Lakers games are expensive, but I try and find games to take my son Vinny to. It's hard to find good deals, especially at the last minute.
You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you.
The Lakers have a ton of home games the remainder of the year. I like that in the Game Time app, they have last minute tickets. You can see views from every seat.
Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Their all-in pricing shows your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you buy. They also have the Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price.
Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time.
Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JNJ for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code JANDJ for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Speaking of getting jokes off, I don't know. You know, there's the GIF, like the putting on the clown makeup, all that shit. That just is Kim Mulkey, bro. I do not understand what the fuck she thought she was doing after an NCAA tournament game, sitting at the press conference, pulling out a prepared statement, threatening to sue the, like, she basically did a promo for a Washington Post feature about her, which I had not previously been aware was coming out.
None of us knew until she dropped that. Like, that, you gave them the best promo ever, bro. Like we are tuned in. I feel like we're probably going to get that Monday morning, Monday afternoon. It feels like that now, right? Like, feels like they're going to make sure that's part of the news cycle this upcoming week. And it's like none of us really knew that was coming, like, until she told us. But I don't know. I just got my fingers crossed on this one, fellas. Like, y'all know where I've been. I hope whatever she did, it wasn't so terrible that they were like lives ruined, but I hope it was terrible enough to be like a fireable offense. I just want her out of there.
The sweet spot.
Right. I hope it's a sweet spot right there.
You hope it's in the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah. the Goldilocks zone. Yes. But yeah, man, I love LSU basketball, women's basketball. I love the culture they built there. I love how you know the profile of like an LSU girls basketball player, right? Like they've established something there. And I just don't like seeing Kim Mulkey like benefit off that. I just don't like seeing Kim Mulkey have good things. And I want good things to happen to LSU women's basketball. So I feel like the common solution here is we got to get Kim Mulkey out of there so I can be all the way in on LSU basketball. You feel me?
There was no headline I could have seen that would make it more interesting than what she'd made it. You know what I mean? I don't care what the headline was. It wouldn't make me as interested as her getting in front of it. You know, now I have to read it. It could have been anything and I wouldn't have cared. You know what I'm saying? Now I literally have to see what she was talking about.
Yeah.
She did the exact opposite of what she was planning on doing. Crazy.
Just put the biggest possible spotlight on this story you don't want anyone to read. It's like it's like a South Park episode.
And she was so confidently speaking to what she was saying. And I'm just like, you have no idea.
She had on those guilty as fuck glasses, bro. She had on those Raleigh Freeman court case glasses, dog. When motherfuckers put those glasses on and when they go to court, when they got some legal shit, you know they're guilty as fuck. They trying to look smarter than they are, bro.
And I will sue the Washington Post.
Were there people she spoke to about that? Because I feel like they don't understand the internet. I feel like that age group in general, right?
Where
like
I mean, her whole media department, as someone who's been at the NCAA press conference, the entire LSU media department standing right off to the side. You know
and she
mean?
Probably looked at them like, yeah, we did it. We got them. And we're thinking like, nigga, you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you, the people in those media department, this would not be the first time they're handcuffed to a coach's stupid fucking decision. I will tell you that. You know what I mean? And hey, like we were just talking about all this shit with Dan Munson and the Long Beach State AD and stuff on the last episode. Like, you can imagine how much fun that was for the fucking media people at Long Beach State, bro. Do y'all see the Long Beach State AD? He got killed for this, bro. Did you see his quote? Like, I fired Dan Munson because I was trying to inspire the team to win in the tournament. And let me say this on behalf of the AD.
Was he serious?
Let me say this on behalf of the AD. He told me on the day he fired Dan Munson. That's why he was doing it.
Seriously?
So yeah. So he's being honest about it.
And at the end of the quote, he exclamation pointed and goes, and I think it worked.
Yeah,
but you now, can't now, say that. Though. Now,
that's the problem. Is
though.
He yeah. was? I think he was. His feeling. He got emotional because of all the people who were talking shit on. But you know, like we talked about the inside versus outside perspective on the Long Beach State thing. Dan Munson had been to one NCAA tournament in 16 years. The fans were like, "Get this dude the fuck out of here!" They lost 5 games in a row to end the regular season. And the AD told me he's like, "I said, why do you fire him now instead of a week from now?" Question everyone wants to know. He said, "Well, you know." We want to be able to celebrate Dan, all this other stuff. And, you know, I'm ready to, the transfer portal opens the first week of the tournament, which is the stupidest fucking thing in the world, but it's true. So we want to signal that we're making a change, all this other stuff. But then he told me afterwards, and now that he said it to the AP, I'll take it off the record or on the record. He was like, you know, off the record, hey, like, let's try something. Let's try, like, let's not have it be a waste of a year. Let's try and put a jump in him. Dan Munson goes into the fucking film room the day before the tournament, is reviewing a bad closeout, turns to his team and go, that's the kind of closeout that gets a coach fired. And the whole room starts busting up laughing. Like, and like they get some, like, they get some flow and it works out. You know what I mean? But yeah, as an AD, you can't say shit. Like, I mean, you should really should never give quotes during the NCAA tournament ever, probably as an athletic director. But that was brutal with the Associated Press. Cause he specifically said not to pat myself on the back.
I'm the reason behind not really, but yeah. It's so funny, like in life, that there's times when you just can't tell the truth. And that was one of them. You know what I mean? Truth or not, you just can't say that shit.
Yeah. You got to stick to that cookie cutter, I did what's best for the program bullshit. Yeah. Right? And that, yep. Moment, you know?
Yep.
I think the real truth of what you just said, John, is that that's more times than not, almost. It feels like you just got to shut the fuck up, let people do what they're doing on the internet, and show up to work the next day. Like, bro, that's just the
truth. Always remember that's an option. You know what I mean?
No one remembers that. Kim Mulkey could have done the same shit. Couldn't do it. Got to get out ahead of it. Got to cut a WWF promo tape for a negative story about yourself.
Made it, man. Sheesh.
All right, let's talk about, we're going to talk somewhat briefly about it because Shohei Ohtani has announced that he's going to do a press conference on Monday. We're recording this Sunday night. So we'll talk about it on the next episode. I think whatever he says in the press conference, it'll be worth talking about. John had not seen this story. So I'll just break it down as simply as possible. I know a lot of our listeners don't closely follow baseball. Completely understand. While the Dodgers were in South Korea for their season opening series, it came out that his translator, according to Ohtani's people, had stolen $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani to cover his own gambling debt. And I think they said it was $9,500,000 withdrawals over the course of a period of time. Now, rest assured, if you're one of the listeners who's saying, but. I have read all of the stories about this, and there is quite a bit of confusion as to whether Ohtani knew this was happening in order and had said to his translator, I'm going to get you out of trouble, take the money. It's illegal to give $4.5 million to a bookie in California, which is not something, if you're the Dodgers or Major League Baseball, you'd be particularly excited for an athlete of that caliber to have done. So we'll see what comes out of the press conference, but It's some crazy shit, man. And all I'll have to say is, like, it's also an option to not bet if you have lost $50, much less you've lost $3.5 million and you're like, let me get another million in the hole here. Like, that's some crazy shit, bro.
9 withdrawals of $500,000 is so fucking reckless, dog. How did you not think you were going to get caught on that shit? 9 withdrawals of $500,000 to cover some gambling shit? God damn.
Wait, they were consecutive withdrawals being that,
I mean, not consecutive, but it doesn't sound like, but over
a period of time. So he kept betting and fucking up, basically, over time. It wasn't like I got like, okay, I'm $1.5 million in. That's worth more than my life. Let me just try to double it. That will be different. But over time, it's just like, that person has a problem, obviously. You know what I'm saying?
A really, really serious, bad, horrible problem. But like, as he's being looked at more, it's like, he said he went to UC Riverside, and it turns out UC Riverside says he never attended school there. No one has ever lied about going to UC Riverside.
So I do not know this man.
I said on Twitter that they don't even have a verification department because people don't follow up on that one, bro. Oh,
maybe
said he went
that's
to
why he lied about going there, because, like, you know, maybe he's that type of mastermind.
That's
when
the one
this
smart
evil
gamble
shit
he made, John. Yeah. Right. I don't know, but I do think there's something too. Like, it seems like he was maybe a little bit like mad with power on, like, being the conduit of information. I mean, think about it. Like, we talked about, like, Ohtani's making $65 million annually endorsements. He's in the very top level. There's very few athletes globally making that. and you as a translator who he talked about as like a member of his family. It was in his contract when he came over from the Angels that this dude would be hired by the Dodgers to be his translator. And so you think you have a guy who trusts you that completely, who's that big of a celebrity and seems to be like a pretty nice down to earth guy. And you are the person who controls all access into and out of that person in the country that he's living in. So like, I think that's kind of probably wrapped up in the mental stuff for this dude too, but it's just, it's nuts, bro. Like it'll be a long time, I think, before we have the full story, but it really is. It's going to be a crazy story for the next like year.
There's nothing. And go ahead, Tyler. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, people are just so fucking greedy and ungrateful. Like Shohei Ohtani says, yo, I want you to be the right-hand man for me, for my career. And you fuck that up. Like, bro, there's no fucking possible way. Like, you are set for life. And that, you know, baseball careers last 20, 25 fucking years. You are set for life as long as you're in good standing with that man. He went and did 9.5 million withdrawals against that man.
There's nobody that I could be connected to that would make me lose my mind to the point or lose my mind to or think I could be so, like, so powerful that I could get away with $4.5 million of gambling debts. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody that's ever existed that I'd be connected to where I would think that was something. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like this is why I box, bro. Punch me in the face. I know I can get my ass whooped. It keeps me grounded, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, I get punched in the face once a week, nigga. Hey, yeah. Cool. You feel me? Like, I can't get away with shit. You know, anybody get their ass whooped. That is $4.5 million is insane.
Yeah.
And the fact that he broke it down like $9.5 million, that really lets you know how much money that is.
Right.
That's crazy, bro.
You're $7.5 million withdrawals in, and somehow you do that two more times. Like, it's
because you're connected to Shohei. You feel like you can.
Yeah. Right. I don't know, bro. Jackson, are you worried about this as a Asian American sports fan? There's been a lot of anxiety about there. I feel like from people
I'm
about
definitely very
Shohei.
Curious. I'm very curious. There's a lot of rumors about what's actually happening. You know, I'm curious if it's Shohei. I don't know.
I'm saying, are any rumors saying it's really Shohei's?
Oh, for sure.
Issue?
That's one of
many,
the things
many
that
rumors.
Out there with.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
sure.
Okay, okay.
And so that's where
we didn't touch on that, Mike. I'm wondering, are you nervous about that? We're like, we need this.
No, because I think, and like I said, I've read everything about this. It seems pretty clear that it was the translator. And what I think Ohtani did is, I think there's a good chance he told him, you owe this dude $4.5 million, or someone's gonna kill you. I got you, bro. But you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a chance of that. The fact that it was regular withdrawals may make that like less likely. You know what I mean? But if he's involved, I think that's it. I don't have all that. I don't know that everyone knows that those details are out yet. But like, all the reporting on Ohtani is that it's like, he really likes his girlfriend, who's now his wife, and his dog. And like, there's a lot of stuff about like, he doesn't really know anything about other sports. You know what I mean? And like, but whereas this dude, there's interviews with his translator talking about watching like World Cup and basketball games with him, where he's like explaining to Ohtani all the intricacies and shit. It's like, oh, you are, this dude was in fucking deep, bro.
Oh, this motherfucker was betting on Albanian summer league games and shit. Yeah, it might be a wrap for that fella.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, to Jackson's point, of course, like, and I would add, like, there's all, you know, baseball, as we discussed over the summer, like, baseball is so furious. All baseball fans were so furious that the Dodgers signed him for so much money. So there's also just a lot of like dickhead baseball fans who are like, yeah, burn the whole sport down and destroy the biggest star in the game because it'll fuck the Dodgers. Like, there's plenty of that shit going around too. Like, there's people like conspiracy theorying. It's like, Ohtani speaks perfect English. Like, this dude was just a gambling front for him. Like,
that's a hell of a conspiracy.
Didn't y'all sign basically everybody, though? It seemed like every other day you're hitting us up like, hell yeah. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did, man. You know,
I don't know this motherfucker, but the numbers look good. Sign him too. You know what I mean? Like,
here's what I'll say about baseball, bro. And like, it baseball is where the revenue sharing shit gets fucked up. Like, there's I forget how many teams, but it's more than one or two teams where their payroll is less than the rev share they get from the league. So they're just straight up like, oh, you're going to cut us. Like, we get a portion of the Yankees TV deal, the Dodgers TV deal. You're going to cut us a check for $200 million. So if I only spent $150 million on my team, I just get to keep this other $50 million. Like, that's the problem with baseball. So whenever people are talking about the Dodgers, it's like, the Dodgers are a Major League Baseball team. They're worth multiple billions of dollars, and their owners are spending money like they're worth multiple billions of dollars. Everyone's team should be doing that. There's no salary cap. Like, but you have dudes like, you know, the guy, like the people who own the A's are leaving Oakland and they get to Vegas, and the mayor of Las Vegas is like, we don't even want these motherfuckers here. Like, it's just a dysfunctional sport on that level. You know what I mean? So it's the rest of the league's fault the Dodgers are so good, basically.
I'm just happy because you're happy, Mike. That's all.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, y'all. Do you want to talk about the Dodgers salary cap of the rap game, Kendrick Lamar? I love Sunday Night Records. Y'all want to talk about the? I assume you guys want to talk about the Kendrick Lamar shit.
Yeah, that motherfucker Kendrick messy as hell, bro. Like this motherfucker. Hey, this motherfucker will disappear. He will give you one album every 5 years, but he gonna hop on somebody's record and he gonna talk his shit and he gonna shake the motherfucking rap game up, just like he did here on Like That on the Future Metro Boomin album, where he was like you know, when Cole and Drake teamed up for First Person Shooter, like that was a moment, bro. Like both the motherfuckers were rapping. I think Cole got the W on that one, but both the motherfuckers went in, and it just felt like for all of the people who grew up where you know, Cole and fucking Drake were like the top guys in the 2010s. That was just a moment for us, right? And then, you know, there was a bar on there where Cole had said, like, you know, the big three, you know what I'm saying? And he was giving props to that era. And Kendrick hopped out here like, yo, fuck all this, you know, buddy shit y'all on. I'm better than both of y'all motherfuckers. Fuck that shit y'all said. Yeah, he said, I don't fuck with none of y'all. I'm better than both of y'all motherfuckers. And Kendrick has been wanting war with Drake, especially for a minute, bro. Like,
can you break that down? Because I don't know. I'm wondering where that beef came from. You know, people I've seen like YouTube links, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. Care enough to look at it.
Can I offer a hypothesis? Are you aware of how Kendrick Lamar grew up and how Drake grew up? And if,
of course.
If people are telling you y'all two are at the top of your industry, how would you feel about Drake?
Yeah, fuck that nigga.
I did not know the exact falling out, but I can tell you the jabs that were thrown. You're right.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly why there's been, you know, tension between them, but you know, we all remember the BET cipher where, you know, of course, first we had Control. Mm-hmm. Where you know, Kendrick called out every fucking top rapper in fucking 2014 on that.
That's a Big Sean joint, right?
Yeah. The Big Sean shit with him and Jay Electronica, where he was calling out all those rappers, you know, by name, Wale, Tyler the Creator, fucking Mac Miller, you know, Drake, J. Cole, ASAP, calling out everybody on that.
Everybody.
Shit,
yeah.
Right? Everybody. And then there was a moment where Elliot Wilson had a sit down with Drake and they had a discussion, and Drake was like, you know, and then they discussed the Control verse, and Drake was like, yeah, you know, that was cool, but it was just a moment. He was like, who's listening to that shit today? And you know what I'm saying? He got some chuckles and shit from the crowd, right?
A little salty.
Yeah. He got some chuckles and shit
salt
from the crowd.
I want salt.
But then, funny shit is, and Elliot Wilson is on fucking, he's on film saying this shit, that during Summer Jam, this was before Meek Mill came out and said Drake had Ghost Riders, right? And you know that there's a line on Cancuta where Kendrick says, but a rapper with a Ghost Rider, how the fuck that happened? Woo, you know, right, that right. Shit, right? Right? And Kendrick, when he's performing this shit for the first time before To Pimp a Butterfly even dropped, he looks at Elliot because like you know, you got to connect the dots here. Elliot had that moment with Drake where Drake just said that shit was just a moment, no one cares anymore. Mm-hmm. And Kendrick, before he says that Ghost Rider shit, he goes, hey, yo, Elliot, but a rapper with a Ghost Rider, how the fuck that happened, nigga? Right. And so you can tell he's throwing a shot back at Drake there. Right.
So
it's always been tension between them. And we could probably point back to that being the moment, you know, for from where it all stems from. But yeah, it's been jabs. It's been subliminals. But it wasn't no subliminals with this shit. Kendrick flat out came out and said, fuck First Person Shooter, which was the name of the song that, you know, Drake and Cole collaborated on. He was like, you know, fuck all this shit. Us big three can, you know, hold hands and be grateful of the moment we had. He said, no, I want war, nigga. And I've been wanting war and I love it.
But it was interesting. It's like him and Cole like have an album that they've basically done together and haven't dropped.
Yeah.
Like he actually fucks with Cole. You feel me?
He was on the Dreamville shit, and his shit was one of my favorite fucking songs. Shit. I woke up wanting money, that shit.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think with Cole, it's healthy competition. He just wants to spar with Cole. I think with Drake, he just doesn't like the
money. He wants to obliterate Drake.
Yes, he wants to fight Drake. He wants to spar with Cole, but he wants to fight Drake. You feel me?
Y'all seen that video of that wrestler with his legs split all the way open? Have y'all seen that shit? He wants to sprain that nigga's taint. He wants to splay Drake open for the world to see. Crazy as hell.
So here's my question to you, Tyler. Is the reason we haven't had a real Kendrick Lamar Drake beef because Kendrick only really cares about the like that part of rap every so often? Or is it because Drake has been declining the invite to engage, basically? Like, listen, who do you blame for the fact that we have not gotten that excitement, you know, from two of the biggest names in music?
Motherfuckers don't want it with Kendrick. It's that fucking simple. Your favorite rapper does not want it with Kendrick. Like, you know, you can talk all the shit about Kendrick you want. You can have whatever criticism of his music you want. People do not want to step in the ring with that motherfucker because that motherfucker can flat out rap. Can rap his fucking ass off. Like, you look at Control, he called out everybody on that shit. The only motherfucker who stepped to him was fucking drunk fucking Diddy, right? Drunk ass, worst motherfucker on the planet, Sean Combs, stepped to that motherfucker. And the funny shit is, J. Cole intervened on that shit and stepped to Puff on Kendrick's behalf. You know, so, but yeah, it's Kendrick is fucking, he's Omar, bro. He's Omar from The Wire. Pulling up with the shotgun, whistling the farmer in the Dell. He has been wanting smoke for so fucking long, and nobody wants to dance with him. And like I said, I get it, because that motherfucker is raw. You step to Kendrick, you got to pack a lunch, bro. It's going to be a long fucking day.
And then when you said there's no subliminals, like, you knew who he was talking about, but there were still some coded ass raps in that shit where that nigga was playing with words in ways that niggas don't play. You know, he was getting everything out of every fucking syllable he rapped. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so this is shit that hits direct, and then there's another shit coming from the side as well. Like, when you did the breakdown of the song, I'm like, yo, like, that shit was crazy. I think, was it you that tweeted that? Somebody, I think you tweeted out where, like, it was a breakdown of, like, of each bar, you know what I'm saying? Like, crazy, but yeah, man, he different. I think Drake is what's crazy? We talked about that. Drake is a rapping ass nigga when
Drake
he wants to
rap his ass off.
But when it comes to, like, beef, he hasn't relied on bars. He's relied on, like, jokey joke shit when he came at, you know, Pusha and shit. Like, you know, like, and then Pusha, like, that nigga with the motherfucking, you know what I'm saying?
But we Tiger joked about uppercut, it. It's like, nigga, hey, film me and Will Smith laughing at this.
Right, right.
Like, that's
right.
Been his response.
Or he'll clown you on. It's like he's trying to win the internet war. You know what I'm saying? But, like, with Kendrick, ain't none of that shit, bro. Like, you ain't going to win that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all both are head-to-head, you know what I'm saying? Not just as popular, but Kendrick's popular enough where you're not going to just beat him on the internet. You're going to have to out-rap this nigga, and you're just not going to be able to do it. You know what I mean?
You're not getting away with some quote tweets.
Cutesy drap, you know, cutesy jabs or some quote tweet shit. None of that matters, bro. You know what I mean? You got to take him seriously, and I don't know if he has that shit in him, bro. You know what I mean? And I think Drake is a great rapping nigga, but Kendrick is
Kendrick
only
different.
One we've ever seen, period.
Kendrick's different. There's a handful of rappers who, when I listen to them at their best, I'm like, okay, this guy might be the best fucking rapper of all time, just straight up rapping, right? Like, it's fucking Black Thought is there for me, Lupe Fiasco is there for me, Andre 3000, and it's Kendrick, and that might be the list. Like, when
you
I'm talking about guys,
Jay?
No, Jay at his no, Jay has never had a moment where, like, this is the best rapper I've ever heard.
You're talking, I think this is actually really funny because this is actually a rehash of your guys' skills conversation, because I know exactly what Tyler's talking about. You're talking about this specific kind of rapper.
Yeah, yes. Jay
has the skills, though. Like, I think in the Webster's Dictionary version of skills, guys.
Jay has never had a verse for me where I was like, this is the best rapper I've ever heard. I think he has a case for being the greatest rapper of all time.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But there is never a
best. He's the best at the most parts
like,
of the
like, bro.
Yeah.
like, look at that fucking Black Thought Funk Master Flex freestyle where he went in for 15 fucking minutes. Jay doesn't have that in his bag.
Jay doesn't have that relationship. He doesn't have that relationship to the mic, John.
He doesn't have that relationship to the I think Jay doesn't have the relationship with rap like that. Like, he could probably do it. I think he has the ability. You feel, what you about to say? What you about to say?
No, that's just I'm just using all of your arguments from the. It's like he doesn't have the relationship with the ball. Like, he's a great bat. He's a great musician, but he doesn't have that specific.
I'm not gonna get into the argument, bro. We were talking about how hoopers talk hoops. It's different. Let's respect how they talk hoops. That's all I was saying.
But anyway, Tyler's making the exact same argument about music, because that's a fact. Because if you ask any rappity rap motherfucker about Mural by Lupe Fiasco. That's Kyrie's ball handling. That's like, I don't want to hear about the promotional tour or what features they got. It's like, no other motherfucker could do that because he has that relationship with the basketball, bro. It's just different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to your credit, I think Lupe's flat out the best lyricist ever, bro.
I'm not getting to this
argument. He gets my vote. But with that said, and I guess this kind of lends to who my Dookie Butt of the Week would be. But
oh, yeah, we can get into it. Let's do it right now. Yep.
Yeah, it's Drake stands, because, like, whenever there's a moment where someone goes at Drake, you see his stands rushing to his defense. And I don't know if Drake himself has shifted this. I'm not putting this on Drake. I think it's a combination of the social media era, of the streaming era, of where everything is quantified now. And whenever there's someone going at Drake, the first thing Drake's fans do is they try to discredit this man by saying Drake is a bigger star. Drake has more streaming records. Drake has more Grammys. Drake did you know, a bigger selling concert than them. We don't give a fuck about that. We never gave a fuck about that in my era, at least. Right? Like, when a motherfucker went at a rapper, regardless of where they were on the fucking social hierarchy, like, Prodigy, we love Prodigy. Prodigy was one of our GOATs, right? He wasn't on Jay-Z's tier. But when Prodigy went at Jay-Z, none of us were like, oh, Prodigy is crazy. He doesn't have as many platinum records as Jay-Z. We didn't have, that wasn't the discussion, bro. We was like, oh, Prodigy went at Jay. Jay got to come back. Jay got to, you know, now we got to see what Jay do. And Jay came back with Takeover, chop that motherfucker's head off, to his fucking credit, right? But we were just not on that whole streaming and streaming wasn't a thing by then. Just about on record sales and first week numbers and platinum records. We was like, bro, when motherfuckers say, yo, let's go to war, it's time to rap. That's all we gave a fuck about then. The motherfuckers don't give a fuck about rap now. It's all a popularity contest. And like I said, I don't know if this is necessarily Drake's fault, but I think that Drake is a unique case in the fact of the matter is this. I think so many people have. I think that Drake's case for being a GOAT is that we've never seen anyone be the top guy this fucking long. Right? He's been the top guy since So Far Gone 15 fucking years ago. Right? And we've never seen that type of run where a guy is just that guy for that long. And I think that is kind of misconstrued a lot of people's perceptions where, you know, if a guy goes at the top guy in the rap game, then it doesn't matter, you know, who the underdog is, because the top guy's going to be the top guy. He wins just off that alone. When the fact of the matter is, like I said, going back to when fucking Jay-Z and all of them were battling, we knew Jay-Z was a top guy. We didn't give a fuck about that. Like I said, Prodigy is going at you, bro. It's time to get in the ring. You know what I'm saying? We didn't give a fuck about that, but I think that I don't know if we're ever just going to have those conversations where motherfuckers just want to see motherfuckers rap when it's time to beef anymore, bro. It's always going to be a popularity contest. It's like Ariana Grande versus, you know, motherfucking Olivia Rodriguez or whatever. Olivia Rodrigo, whatever the fuck now. You know what I'm saying? That's what rap feels like.
Yeah. I mean, well, like when we were kids, like MTV did a whole segment on Eminem versus cannabis. You know what I mean? No one at any point was like, well, one of these people is a multi-platinum selling artist and the other one of them is cannabis. Like, that was not the argument that was being had. MTV,
it was both of these motherfuckers can rap. Who's going to out-rap who?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. And that was MTV. That was not like like the voice of rap. Like, that was even in the discussion of popular media, that was still like the way it was squared up, for sure. Yeah. John, your Dookie Butt of the Week.
My Dookie Butt of the Week is the people that said old boy in the polo wasn't fresh, nigga. I mean, look, y'all know how I dress. I don't even own a motherfucking polo. You feel me? I ain't been creased up since goddamn 99. You feel what I'm saying? I ain't grabbed no Stay Flow or no Niagara, no Faultless in a long time. It starts my shit up. But a nigga, I'm always gonna respect the crease, nigga. The crease is Black history, bro. You know what I'm saying? The crease is the foundation. They've been, you know what I'm saying? Like, for me to, like, I don't think I've ever been anywhere where a polo ain't going to do you right. If there's a place in this world where a polo ain't going to do you right, I don't want to be in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, polos and the crease, that's always been, you get my respect. The fact that they go, you know, because he coordinated or whatever, like, did you see what old girl had on? You feel when they showed the video when they turned around? Some ripped up jeans and some Jordans. You basic too. You feel me? This dude's sticking to tradition. And look at this. I don't know how old he was, but he seemed kind of like a OG. You feel me? How he was moving. The way he moved was smooth. The man had the big Coca-Cola for his lady. He probably slid out, grabbed some food for his lady from the Whataburger, got her the big Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? He just at the Whataburger. He ain't, you know what I'm saying? What, you want him to wear them big ass, you know what I'm saying? Like them big beefy ass shoes y'all motherfuckers wearing and shit. Looking goofy as hell, like clowns and shit. Them big ass boots and motherfucking Cardi ass be wearing and shit. That's what he's supposed to wear to go to goddamn Whataburger? The motherfucker had on a polo. A nigga can't wear a polo no more? And I'm a nigga that don't even own a polo no more. But it's crazy to think that a nigga come out with a polo and the New Balance 574s, them might as well be Chucks, nigga. You know, them shit's been cool for like goddamn 20 years. What the fuck you on? What's the expectations? It's crazy. It's crazy. I think it was so foul. You know what I mean? And I love how the internet took up for him. That's the first thing niggas been talking about on Twitter that I gave a fuck about in 2 years, nigga. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm a country nigga, too. Like, nigga, nigga, you gonna still see a star-studded nigga in the country. You feel me? Like, bro, hey, we gotta stick to tradition, bro. He holding it down over here, and y'all talking shit. Y'all know what you're talking about, bro. We losing recipes, man. The young folks tripping. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now. And then also, Paulo in particular has a warm spot in my heart, nigga, because I was a motherfucker that was at Goodies getting duckhead and it motherfucking JCPenney's and shit, buying goofy ass shit because we could. And then when I went to Burlington Coat Factory and found the motherfucking discount Paulo section and getting the motherfucker for $34.99 or $29.99, that held me down. Like, cool, I ain't got to be out here in this motherfucking duckhead getting clown no more. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to fight for my life every day I go to school in the first week and I got the duck head on. I can get some polo and shit now. Come on, man. Crazy. Nasty, man. They ain't never been to Penny's, man. Take these niggas to Penny's. There ain't no reason they should be having Dior sneakers anyway. What the fuck a 17-year-old did? You know, they ain't even been. Niggas, ain't, you know what I'm saying? How the fuck you work? I'm not sound like a hater now. But no, I think it's just crazy, man. Why we hating on a nigga in a polo and some goddamn and some starched up jeans? That's the foundation, man. Come on. Sick, bro. Man.
Yes, bro. Polo is for sure the foundation. Bro, there's like the holy trinity of polo shirts. It is that navy blue with the red horse.
Period.
That forest green with the red horse. And that motherfucking red with the navy blue horse, bro. Those three right there. Like, those were the fucking... That was the holy trinity of polo fucking shirts right there. And yeah, polo's foundational. Fucking New Balance is a foundational, bro. Like... I mean, homeboy looked like he was dressed very age appropriate. Like I said, we don't know if he's 35 or 55, but you can tell from his outfit gave away his age more than his face did. You feel me?
You feel me?
You're right. Like, yeah.
And he had a fresh lining, clean, yeah. Fresh lining. You know what I'm saying? The man was fresh. I don't know where on the planet is that not fresh, nigga. Like, like you said, for his age appropriate. Where is that not fresh? That's crazy, man. And that polo too, nigga, they were selling that same polo in high school. And that's been, I might have had that exact same shit. That shit been cold for 20 years, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And he gonna come up here, you are not fresh. Take this L, nigga.
You were about to say something that would get you in trouble right there.
Hey, I'm gonna say this. Yes.
I was trying to figure a way to get it off. I'm like, no, the filter was like, nope.
I think the fact of the matter is that, bro, these youngins are like the first generation that old motherfuckers are not trying to dress like. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, no one in their 40s who still wants to be young is trying to dress like a 25-year-old with the fucking Bali man shoes with the magician hoops and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that shit is just yeah, you know, magicians have
what
them
are you talking
hoops.
About? I'm confused.
You know the motherfucking hoops that they were like linked together and then they do some shit like this and then they not linked no more and shit. Like them Bali Man goddamn dad sneakers we having them goddamn
motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's how you know I'm out the loop. I don't even know how to pronounce this shit.
Nigga, I don't know.
But bro, like yeah. I think that's probably the biggest story here. This is like the first generation of youngins who were like, bro, no one wants to dress like y'all. Even the all the way tapped in Gen Zers are dressing like the Seinfeld cast in fucking 94. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Yeah. Like even their fresh is like recycled fresh. You feel me? So.
All right. Think fresh has always been somewhat recycled, but not like, bro, where Apollo ain't, come on, bro. Like, the fact that they talking about, it was such a basic fresh outfit. Like.
It was a classic. It was like a Yankee fitted up outfit.
It's such a classic. Like, it's just, like I said, it's been a foundation. Like, that is such a classic. The baby blue everything was just so, like, I'm like, nigga, this ain't at least fresh for a man of his age? What are expectations? It is ridiculous, bro. And to be honest, bro, like if I see an old head in some big ass fucking pants and like, so you know what I'm saying? Like the dress suit, the church suit, the TD Jake shit. You feel me? I'm okay, OG. I see you because that's what OGs wear with the motherfucking cowboy boots. You feel me? I'm not expecting them to fucking wear a Carhartt work in progress. Why the fuck you gonna be shopping where I'm at, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Like, you was trying to hit my great-grandmother, nigga. Like it wouldn't make no sense. It's just so crazy.
Did y'all see what Big Foss tweeted about it?
Now, what'd he say? What'd he say?
He said, I'll be at the cigar lounge in this exact outfit, and your auntie will be cutting my cigar for me, too.
It is, nigga, bro, it's crazy. Like, as a motherfucker, I guess I don't even own a pole. I'm looking at him like, no, this can't go on. We must put a stop to this. You know, the kids must know the truth. It was so wild to me, G.
When are you going to reclaim your heritage in solidarity with the OG and put a crease in your jeans, bro?
Oh, nigga, y'all might see me fairly soon, bro. I was talking to some other country niggas like, yo, we need to, hey, nigga.
Pull up.
You feel me? Gang shit. You know what I mean? Hey, we going to be creased the fuck up with these jeans. Hey, fuck it.
Hopping out the minivan with the
You hear me? You hear? Hey, fuck you mean? Nigga, it might be time. I was like, nigga, hey, somebody, people hit me up like, it might be time. I've been waiting for this moment. Hey, country niggas unite, dog. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
John made reference to my Dookie Butt of the Week. I'm texting it to y'all in case you didn't see it. But did you see the picture of the wrestler who got pinned in the absolute most graphic way possible?
I did see that.
Tyler, did you see that?
I saw it, yeah.
I just texted you the picture, Tyler. This man got spatchcocked.
Oh, hell like. No. No.
Hey, there's a term for it, though. There's a term for it. I forget what the term is. There's a term for it.
I saw it out there, yeah.
And I saw some other images with the like of guys that it happened to. And this is probably the best case scenario. Like, the other people looked so embarrassed and like you're trying to tear this man from the booty hole, like from the center of the booty hole. It's so wild, bro.
I didn't know how that happened. How do we even get there, dog? It ain't no way you fucking kicking out of that, bro. That motherfucker can count to a thousand. The ref can count to 1,000 on that motherfucker. You ain't getting out, dog.
I think it's more embarrassing than it is devastating in a wrestling match. Like, you know, the dude, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he got counted out or I think
he's making eye contact with his asshole, John. I don't know. It was just,
I'm saying the thing is more embarrassing than devastating. Like, I don't think that ends the match, even though, but I mean, you would not want to wrestle anymore.
That's a pin.
Did they call it a pin? I don't know what happened. Cause I thought like the buzzer went off.
I don't see how he's getting out of it.
He just, in the video, he just sat there for like, until a buzzer went off. I don't know if that's the, I didn't see anybody.
That man was booty out to the world until the man had his
booty out. And it didn't seem like the match was over. It seemed like they were going to continue doing something else.
And so for me, I'm like, if you achieve a pin, that ends it. So I think that's what the buzzer was. But yeah, he's not looking at the clock like only 7 more seconds.
He was just doing his Huber. He was just doing his Huberman thing.
Why did he have that man pinned booty out to the world?
I thought man was just waiting for the clock to run out and then start up again. I'm like, I wouldn't want to wrestle anymore after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if I could, I'd be like, you know what I mean? You got this one. Crazy. Yeah.
Jackson, your dookie butt of the week.
I don't really have a dookie butt, but I have like a reverse dookie butt. I'm hungover today because I had a friend's wedding yesterday. And I just want to give a shout. And so it's like sort of that hangovers are shitty. But really, I want to just give a shout out to Ruts Hawaiian, place down the street in Culver City, has kept me and my girlfriend alive today. So shout out to Ruts Hawaiian.
What was the order?
What was it? Yeah, what's it?
I got a mixed, like a combo plate lunch, Kalua pork and chicken katsu, rice and mac salad, of course.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Hell yeah, delicious.
Oh, yeah. Tyler, I got a question. Are you high?
Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah, brother.
I love high Tyler episodes, man. I'm like, you know what I mean?
Y'all saw the picture I texted you of KD at the Texas game. Looking on cloud 78, bro. I said, that's Tyler tonight for sure, bro. Look at this. Look at KD.
He couldn't even straighten his fingers. Like,
that motherfucker, that fucking cow face sad as fuck. That shit was down here like this. Like, nigga, you gonna raise that?
He looked like Snoop in 1988, bro. He is. Oh, man. All right. That's all the time we got. We'll be back on Thursday with our next episode, and hope it's a good start to the week for everybody. We'll see y'all then. Bye.
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 The Volume.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.